Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 4. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 9 through 14. 9 through 14. I've entitled this evening's message, We Are the Promised Heirs. The Promised Heirs. You know, I think a week or two ago, I just touched briefly just on what a living trust is all about, what it consists of, beneficiaries, heirs. And did you know that we are joint heirs with Christ? Huh? Did you know that we are joint heirs with Christ?
Yes.
Everything that Jesus has, he has given it to us by faith. And we are so blessed to know that the kingdom of heaven has opened up its doors for you and I. Did you know right here on earth, we are seated in heavenly places?
Yes, we are.
At one time, seriously, just real quickly, at one time, back in the day, it's still kind of early right now, 6:25. We weren't getting ready till about 8:39 to go to the Black Angus. My brother was a DJ there. Oh, come on. And we were there for one purpose. Oh, that's right. To get lit up. Not only get lit up, but to prowl and put your eyes on things that are not yours. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But we're seated in heavenly places tonight. Can I get amen? God has changed us from the inside out. God has given us a new hope, a lively hope. Can I get
amen?
And now we can glorify God and magnify Him. Praise God. So we're going to get a little further in chapter 4 of Romans. And so, let's go what the Word says. And here we go, starting with verse 9. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? Paul always asks a rhetorical question. For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised? Or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while circumcised. Notice he's going back and forth because he's trying to make a point. His point is that was part of the law. But now this is a time of grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised. Guess what? That was us. At one time, we didn't believe. Can I get amen? Listen, a lot of us weren't circumcised of the flesh. Listen, I'm not going to say who they are. I'm not going to put anyone on blast. But now in our generation, it's common that the hospitals do this, not through a religious connotation, but for a cleanliness. And then there's some parents that said, you're not touching him. But neither one that is or one that's not has nothing to do with your faith in Christ. Aren't you so blessed to know that? And so look at this. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised. That says a whole lot. So in other words, Abraham, the father of our faith, before he was circumcised in the flesh, he was still accounted to him righteousness before that happened, that he might be father of all who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. In other words, God placed his righteousness upon us by faith. All we had to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and righteousness was accounted on our behalf. That's what grafted us in. That's why we are now joint heirs with Christ, and it's all by faith. Did you sign a contract? Did you sit with an attorney?
No.
Huh?
No.
Did you do any of that? Did you pay $450 for your living trust?
No.
That's what they run.
No,
the average.
No.
Probably more now.
Oh,
$2,500 now. Oh, inflation. I forgot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because I think the minimum wage is $20 now. You know, $20 an hour back when I was working in the lumber yard, I'd be living somewhere in a big old giant house in East Lake. So because of that jump in wages, the burger there is going to be $17 a burger. Oh, come on. Let's move on. Verse 12. And the father of circumcision to those who not are only of the circumcision, but who also walk in the state, look at this, steps of faith, of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So he was walking in faith before he was asked to do the seal. So that the, okay, so at that time in his era, thousands of years ago, God had them do this because all the heathenistic nations weren't circumcised. So they were the only nation on the earth at the time that can prove that they were part of God's family. The heathens wouldn't do that. Yet they were so barbaric, they were still heathens. But this was a sign to the world that these are God's covenant people. So Abraham received righteousness by God before this seal. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed?
Yes.
That while we were still yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Whoa, hallelujah. You got to get a hold of that tonight. Man, we were lost without a cause. We was what? Toe up from the flow up. Oh, come on. We had no hope. And yet God still chose us. Wow. Look at this. Verse 13 and 14. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Because of faith, we have everything in Christ.
Yes.
You know, on I want you to write this down. I believe it's June. Is it June 7th?
9th.
June 9th. Write this down. June 9th. It's a Sunday. June 9th. We're going to have the prophet come back, Dennis. Sunday morning over there, or Sunday afternoon over there, or noon. Noon. And it's going to be a day of rest for me. I'll be there, but he's going to prophesy again.
Right.
You know what hit? Let me just say this. When he was here last, he held on to my hand and Yolanda's hand, and this is what he said. What was taken away from you, God has given it back.
Right.
So that church over there in Bonita was ripped away from us. And now God has given it back. Hallelujah. Wow. Pastor Sherry, though, was here from Ramona. She texted me, what's his number? I need to call him. I go, what's going on? Everything he prophesied has come to pass. What? You see, there are real legitimate prophets, and then there's false prophets. Then there's false prophets. This guy's on point. Hallelujah. How many were here that night? Yes. We were here, huh? Wow, God is good.
Yes,
so let's break this down tonight. And let's start with verse 9. Does this blessedness then come upon the uncircumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for what? Righteousness. Look what Genesis 15:6 says. And he believed in the Lord, and what? And he accounted it to him for what? Righteousness. You see, saints, does this blessing refer only to the Jews, or is it for Gentiles as well? It's for all of us. All of us. And so back to Abraham, who was declared righteous by God, it was because of his faith. And we received the Lord Jesus Christ because of our faith. And guess what? The lineage started with Abraham all the way down to Jesus. And guess what? It's all the way down to us. Wow. That's a blessing. Look what I found in the book of Galatians that Paul wrote. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. And guess what? It has. When he wrote this, it was his prayer, it was his proclamation that we would receive it too. 2,000 years later, we did.
Amen.
Yeah, my savings aren't like it was 5 years ago. You know, I may start have to be using credit cards, but guess what? That doesn't change my position in Christ.
Come on.
I'm still going to praise him. Because I was praising him when I was on the mountaintop.
Amen.
Now it's time to praise him in the valley.
That's right.
I prayed with my daughter Sophia. She's going through some serious, serious trauma. Never before she ever experienced anxiety and fear. They took her to a specialist, a neurologist in Kansas City today. And she cannot go to sleep. And she wakes up trembling. So her mom flew over there and now is with her. And things are just going haywire for her. And I prayed with her today. Yolanda and I prayed for her.
Amen.
And said, Sophia, God's been so good to you.
Yes.
You've homeschooled your children. You've nurtured your husband. You walk in righteousness.
Yes.
And now you're in a dark valley. I said, praise will bring you out.
Yes.
I told her, praise will bring you out. And I'm here to let people know who's listening and those of us that are here. When you're in a dark valley and things are not going your way, you may be afflicted in your body. You may be afflicted. Someone may have lied upon you. You may have come out of a relationship with someone. But I'm here to let you know that praise will bring you out.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Instead of going down in the dumps, hallelujah, climb spiritually up and say, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. I magnify you. Despite of what's going on, I'm still going to praise you. Jesus. Jesus is our all in all. Jesus will see us through. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, it was Abraham's faith, not his faithfulness to certain rituals, that made him righteous. It was none of that. The critical question is this: was he declared righteous only after he had been circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? And the question is, it was before. Before. You see, Paul uses the term circumcised to refer to the whole law. He was using that as the law, because circumcision implies a desire to live under the demands of the law. But guess what God did with us? We didn't have to get circumcised in the flesh. We got circumcised of the heart. He cut away that hardness of our heart. He took away that trash, that junk, so that he can touch it. And that we would come alive.
Amen.
Woo, Jesus. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Then give him a hand praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Just talking about his goodness should bring hope to you. Just talking about what he's done for you should always be a reminder how good he is, despite of what we see right now, despite of what's going on right now. In real time, we know things are not at its best in our nation, and we see it going down a slippery slope, but God's still on his throne. Did you know that God's still on his throne? So let's move on now to Romans chapter 4, verse 10. It says, how then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. He answers that rhetorical question. You see, saints, Paul immediately answers his own question. God accepted him first, and then he was circumcised later. You see, aren't you so blessed? Listen, this is why, this just came to me right now. I need you to catch this, what this is saying. You ever invited people to come to church or come to Jesus? I'm not ready yet. I'll come when I get ready. Well, if you look what Abraham did, he didn't get nothing right. He just believed God. So all they have to do is believe God, then God will take it from there and change them. I told this young lady Sunday. She goes, well, I'm not ready. When I get ready, I'll come. I go, you know what that tells me? You'll never be ready. Because you can't get ready in the flesh. You can't just one day say, oh, yeah, I'm coming to get right. You have to believe God that he's able to save you. Right now. And so if you look at this, this is why people battle with God. Because they want to see something first instead of coming in faith and believing God. Hallelujah. How long ago has it been? 2 months now for you two? That was a whole lot of faith waking up the pastor at 10:30 on one of the coldest nights. Listen, I had to line up with their faith. They believed that they had a blessing coming to them. And so, you know what? Okay, Lord. I hung up with her. Okay, Lord. I had to just plaster on a smile. Yeah, Lord. But then you know what? When they showed up, the joy came. You know what? So out of that, I still was walking in faith. And then when they came, the joy came. And then I got to meet who they were. And they're wonderful. They're beautiful. Can I get an amen? The whole family's beautiful. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And they're our friends now. Man, look what God does. You know, just imagine. Can you bring them back another day? Huh? Oh, yeah. Enemy would have came in and said, oh, no. We'll just go fellowship with the Mormons. We won't go there. We won't go there. We won't go there, right? We won't go there.
I would have been knocking at your door.
Oh, my goodness. You see, Paul immediately answers his own question. They're always rhetorical questions, right? And so God called Abraham. God called him. Turn to your neighbor and say, God called you. And don't forget the other one on the left.
God called you.
Yes, and the one in the front. And the one behind you. He called us. Didn't he? And he was calling you at 10:30 at night. He was calling. He was calling. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
God doesn't reject
anyone. No, he don't. Look what we find in Genesis. Here we see it right here. Look at this. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, look at this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, this is before his name was changed to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God first calls, right? And then, after you come in faith, now here comes God's righteousness. So we see God calling him, and now he's going toward God, right? That's what happened to us. He called us, and we came to the cross by faith. Now look, then God declared him righteous in Genesis 15. We're in 12. Let's go there. Look at that. In Genesis 15, 4 through 6. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body. He was talking about Isaac to come and shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside. God brought Abram outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed what?
The Lord.
Abram believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for what?
Righteousness.
Hallelujah. So Abraham is the father of our faith. Because he believed God, God said, is now accounted to you as righteousness. And the lineage came down to Jesus, and then it came down to us. And so now it's accounted to us. And so after that, then the seal was done. Then the seal was done. And so we find this in two chapters later. Look at this in Genesis 17. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in the house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day. As God had said to him, Abram was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And for me, I'd be running away like a wild man. That took more than faith. It took courage. Look at this. Verse 25. And Ishmael, his son, was what? 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of the house, born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. So that was the sign to them that prior to that act, that medical act that did not have any anesthesia, no numbingness, no nothing, they believed God. So they were right before God. But God said, I need this as a sign to the heathen nation. So let's move on now to Romans chapter 4, verse 11. Look at this. And he received the sign of circumcision. There it is. A seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Aren't you so blessed that we're righteous and we don't have to do that barbaric act? It was barbaric in my eyes. Oh, come on. You don't even want to picture that in your mind. And so, saints, Abraham's circumcision sealed the righteous standing he already had with God because of his faith. And this is what God said to him. Look at this in Genesis 17:10. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Wow. Wow. That was tough. I'll pick up the phone anytime at 10:30. Look at verse 12. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations, he who was born in your house or bought with money from your foreigner who is not your descendant. So that's a sign. Even if it was not from your descendant, us Gentiles, that was a sign of a new covenant that God was going to do through Christ. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. How many are so blessed to know that? Huh? How many are so blessed? You see, saints, God had already accepted him, declared him to be righteous, even before he was what? Circumcised. So Abram is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised yet. Praise God. He is the father of those who are made right with God by faith. And so that makes him the father of Gentiles who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior by faith. Aren't you so blessed that we didn't have to do 212 Hail Marys? We didn't have to run 200 laps around Sweetwater's track? He didn't tell us to do 200 push-ups? Oh, come on. He just said, come to me by faith, and I will receive you. Wow. Wow. Look what Luke wrote right up here. Look at this. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Turn to your neighbor and say, at one time, we were lost. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? We can't claim that no more. Hallelujah. We are sealed, sanctified. Hallelujah. Water baptized. Heaven bound. And a hell to shun. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We're going to be with him in glory.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you, God, for saving a wretch like us. Amen. We're all wretched at one time. Come on. Many of us have things that we've done, we would be ashamed to say those things again. If I were to put here on this screen up here, all of our past sins, I would beat you to the door running. Oh, come on. But God has blessed us and covered us. He has forgotten every sin that we've ever committed. And this is why we love him, for what he has done. Come on. There's people in our life that we love, and they will do their best to love you with all their heart, but they can never love you like Jesus.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
No one can love like Christ.
Right.
My wife has demonstrated so much love for me for 27 years, and she's put up with my stuff. And I got a whole bunch of stuff. But guess what? But guess what? I got a whole bunch. A whole bunch. And guess what? So do you guys. I'm not alone in this one. I'm not alone in this one. But for all those years, she has demonstrated love and care. Compassion. And every now and then, she'll come with a word of rebuke. And I, yes, ma'am. Yes, Lord. Yes, honey. You know why? She sees my blind spots. And it's for my good. She never tells me anything that would be detrimental to me. And that's what I love about her. But guess what? God does even greater than that. So no matter how much your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, that people that love you, God goes way beyond that.
Right.
Way beyond it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So let's move on to verse 12 in Romans chapter 4. And it reads, and the father of circumcision to those who are not only are the circumcision, but also who walk in the steps of the faith, which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Praise God. You see, saints, he is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, meaning the Jews. We get that. But this only applies to those Jews who have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was, what, circumcised. Faith in God, not in their own goodness. Many times I had conversations with our good friend, Rabbi. Rabbi Michael Samuel. I call him still to this day. He's a closet Christian. On Google Analytics, I can see computers that are downloading my sermons. It doesn't say who they are. It could be anybody. He downloaded all the sermons. Yes, he did. Yes, he does. One day, Yeshua, Jesus, is going to appear to him. Maybe he has already. We'll see. You see, my friends, Abraham is father of all who believe in God. He is father of uncircumcised believers because he was uncircumcised when he was considered righteous. Praise God. And he is the father of circumcised believers, not simply because of common Jewish heritage, but because they both had faith in God. Look what I found in the book of Ezekiel. Look at this, Ezekiel 33. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, they who inhabit those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land has been given to us as a possession. Did you know that God gave us this land for us? Can I get amen? Amen. Well, they already took me off Facebook again. Yeah, well, I can't find it. Okay. Can someone find it? Did they put me back on?
No.
I guess they didn't let me out of jail. Yep. They went back and saw a rap sheet.
Yeah.
Huh?
They're like,
uh-oh. The guys in the dark suits. Still gone? Oh, look at that.
Wiped out.
I'm wiped out. Yes, praise God. Look what King David wrote in Psalms up here. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He has what? Greatly exalted. God should always be greatly exalted in our life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so we're moving on to verse 13, praise God. Look at this. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You see, saints, the promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was found right here in Genesis 12. I will make you a great nation. We read this, but I want to read it again. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Let me just say this. Let me pause. You and I, because we are the seed of Abraham. Did you know that you now are a blessing to this world? You are a blessing to your family. Your family now is going to look to you. Why? Because they're going to see the blessing of God on your life. They're going to see the favor of God on your life. They're going to inquire about God now. What you are doing in their lives, you are activating something that's been dormant. And so God is quickening them. When you thought they wouldn't even come to church, here they come.
Amen.
That's a sign to you what God is about to do. Can I get amen?
Amen?
That lets you know there's hope. God put that hope in us. And so we are so mighty blessed. Because we should be a blessing to people. We should give them a hope. That's right. Let me see one of those flyers back there, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And He's worthy to be praised.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Saints, we have a team passing these flyers out on Saturday and other days as well. We ordered 1,000 of them. But how can we proclaim these things if God is not doing these things? It'd be false advertisement, wouldn't it? We'd be puffing ourselves up. Oh, look and see what God is doing. And He's not. Well, guess what? He is.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
It says, come experience the healing power of Jesus. How many believe that He's a healer?
Yes,
how many believe that lives are being changed?
Yes.
Huh? Marriage is restored.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Addictions are being broken.
Amen.
Come on. I don't get, nothing's too hard for God.
Right.
Whatever addiction it may be.
Come on.
It don't have to be drugs and alcohol. We always say the big drug and alcohol. Anything. Womanizing, pornography, gluttony. Anything that's bringing a detriment to your life. Yes, something that'll destroy you eventually. God's the deliverer. And we're seeing addictions broken. Sicknesses and diseases are being destroyed. How many love that testimony of Sister Dawn? Come on, 3 weeks ago, they saw the tumors on her bladder. 3 months ago. You would figure they were shown as they saw it 3 months ago that they'd probably be bigger by now and spreading somewhere. They're not there. No trace of it. Nowhere. That's through the power of God and because of our faith, believing that Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. He's a God of all gods. He is the miracle maker. He is the way maker. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Nothing's too hard for God. You guys need to understand that no matter what trial comes your way, God's able to see you through. God's able to deliver. God's able to do all the things that we once thought maybe only doctors can touch. Maybe a financial advisor may have a way. I'm here to let you know that God is the way maker. Jesus. And people are being saved. One of the young men, well, we were blessed to baptize two young men and a young lady. And God poured His Spirit on them. Jordan came out drunk in the Holy Ghost. He said it like this, man, God is all over me. God is all. He goes, I'm just full of God. We seen that kid when he was what, 10 years old?
Five.
He was five. And now he's in college. Filled with the power of God.
Come on.
There's nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. And look what else I found right up here. In Genesis 15:5. Then he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able, what?
To
number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants, what?
Be.
You see, saints, this promise was made to Abraham many years before the requirement of circumcision and hundreds of years before the giving of the Ten Commandments. How many of you know what the Ten Commandments are? There's 10 of them. Okay. Thou shalt not call me at 10:30 at night. That's one. I'm just kidding. They're right up here. I put them up here. Why? Because Abraham, hallelujah, got saved before these came out. Before the law came. So here's the thing. Yes, I know that righteousness, the law pointed us to Christ. Thank God for Moses and the law, because that was a different dispensation. But before Moses, Abraham believed God. Before these, look at this. Number one, honor your father and mother. Number two, you shall not commit adultery. Number three, you shall not steal. Put that candy bar back. Look at this. You shall not bear false witness. That's a tell bearer. That's someone that does this. Hey, come here. And then when that person comes to the church, everyone's looking like this. Because now the whole church knows. Bearing false witness. Listen, let me just say this. I'm going to say this in love to those who are watching. When someone comes and starts to gossip with you, do this. Just so that you can let them know. Just do this. Listen. Let's stop right there. Everyone has shortcomings. But have you thought about praying for them? Let's pray for them right now. Let's just pray for them. I don't want to hear their evil, what they've done, or what they're doing. Let's just pray for them. And what you know, ask God to correct that in your mind. But I don't need to know anything about them, because I don't want to think any evil against them. Because it's easy to get our hearts sided with someone. You know that? It's real. The enemy wants us to be divide us. He comes in to divide and conquer. That's how you stop. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not kill. Did you know you could kill someone in your mind? Jesus said, you can murder in your heart. Yeah, I didn't pull the trigger, but in my heart, you're dead. Look at that. Keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. And the Sabbath is Christ, because every day is a Sabbath day now. Yes. Can I get an amen? Amen? Every day is a Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Watch out for these ministries. Well, you know, worship on Saturday. You are not going to go to heaven. They say that. How many of you used to attend Seventh-day Adventists? Oh, they'll tell you. They'll bark it up your wrong tree. They'll keep telling you, you're not saved unless you worship on Sabbath. Wait a minute. Colossians said that every day is our Sabbath day. Jesus has become our Sabbath. Amen. Show that to them. And they'll...
That's all, folks.
Amen.
That's all.
They can't argue with it. They can't argue. Look at this. You shall not have no other gods before me. Notice little G? Some of us got idols. Now, what we don't do here is get in your business, but you, in your own personal life, go before the Lord. Say, God, is there anything in my house as an idol? I want to get rid of it. I can't tell you what it is, and I won't. You got to do this with God. Can I get an amen? Whatever offends God, get rid of it. Can I get amen? Because they may stumble you. You shall not covet. I said it best. My neighbor next door. If he starts to build a pool, man, I could do laps over there. Hey, honey, we need one too. We need one too, honey. We need a pool too. You know? Oh, yeah, let's just get in debt for $100,000. But we need a pool too. No. What you do is you bake a pie and go bring it to them. Say, man, that's a beautiful pool. Here's a pie. Go make peace with them. They'll invite you over. Can I get amen? Sister Dolly, I think one of us was going to ask you if we could come swimming at your pool.
Yeah, they did last year.
Okay. So if I called you, you're okay? All right.
You gotta warm it up though first.
Then I won't call you. You shall not, what? Covet. You shall not murder. You shall not, what? Make idols. Wow. It's right there. You see, Abraham believed God's promises even though it was also made when he was almost 100 years old and did not yet have any children. Wow. His first promise. I mean, the promised one. You know what he did with Hagar. He went ahead of God. He goes, well, his wife convinced him. Just go into the handmaiden. So he took it, you know, a man goes, okay. So he was at fault too. She goes, go ahead. All right. Because he's what? Maybe 30, 20 years old. He's 100?
Different time.
Must have been a different time. They had no blue pills back then. I'm going to tell the truth. Don't use his name in vain. Well, yeah. You shall not have another God. You shall not make any graven idols. Yeah. Yeah, and there is one also. There's various versions that don't use his name in vain.
In vain.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. You know why? Because he won't be mocked. Remember Job's wife? Her advice to Job, because he had lost everything. He had boils all over his body. He was being basically tortured by Satan. But God allowed it. Because God was trying to make a point. Satan, he will not curse me. And Job passed the test. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he was being so tormented, his wife had no other choice. She didn't know the deal that was given between her, between Satan and God. She was just there watching him go through the agony. So they knew at that time that if you curse God, he will kill you. So she was saying, this is the only thing that'll put you out of your misery. Just curse God and die. She didn't say it in a facetious way to ridicule God. No. She goes, this is how you can just relieve your suffering and have God kill you. Because I can't, the doctors, we can't do nothing for you no more. And what did he say? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh.
Amen.
And he didn't rebuke his wife.
Right.
He didn't do that. And then God, at the end of Job, he prayed for his friends. He prayed for his enemies. He prayed for people that hated him, that gave him false witness, that did all that. And then God blessed him tenfold.
Amen.
Gave him back all his wealth. Gave him more children. Gave him more cattle and what have you. He became the richest man in the world at that time. Wow. So we're going to look at our last verse. Verse 14 in Romans chapter 4. For if those who are of the law are heirs, this is where I got our title, faith is made void and the promise made of what? No effect. You see, saints, if people must obey God's law and be good enough in order to be saved, then faith is useless. Because no matter how good we try to get, now, no matter how much I said earlier, well, when I'm ready, I'll come. You're never going to be ready. You're never going to. You know why? Because God is not in your thoughts. Did you know that? Before you, just go back before you got saved. He was never in our thoughts. We didn't wake up praising him. We didn't wake up, oh man, let me just do my little devotional. Oh, come on. I was waking up, when's my next high? Oh, come on. We woke up corrupt. I couldn't wait to wake up on Sundays. we go get a couple of kegs, and all day was football and getting drunk and getting high with my friends. Until God got a hold of my heart. Until God got a hold of our heart. And now, we're not the same, are we? Now we can give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We can glorify Him and say, look what God has done. Not that what we've done nothing, but it was all God. And Him alone. And He doesn't want to share His glory with man. So this is why we need to give Him all the glory. Can I get an amen? We need to praise Him and give Him all the glory. Look what God has done. Thank you, Jesus. You see, that in turn would make God's promise also meaningless. If the law does not bring righteousness, then why does it exist? That's a good question. The law brings punishment. In other words, in a world where people can make real choices, the law's presence automatically includes the possibility of failure and the consequences that would follow. And come on, all of us were lawbreakers. Can I get amen? And yet God still chose to save you. Despite of yourself. Aren't you so blessed He chose to save you? He didn't look. He didn't care what He saw. He already knew what He was getting when he saved you. He knew what He was getting with me. But He still chose to save us. And I'm going to close with this passage in Galatians 3:21, and then we'll pray. Paul wrote to the Galatian church and said this, is the law then against the promises of God? He's always asking a rhetorical question. Then he answers it, certainly not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But it didn't come by the law. Look at verse 22. But the scripture has what? Confined all under sin. That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who what? Believe. Believe. It's all about believing. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. Well, come on. Kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. What does that mean? That means even though the law was in place, the law was given. One law I could think of right now. Praise God. The law of gravity. Just imagine if we didn't have the law of gravity. We'd just float away. That's one law. But we're talking about the law of the heart. Did you know prisoners are getting saved too?
Amen.
And the law had to put them away. For our best interest. Can I get an amen? And we need to be praying. Because there's a lot of thugs running around. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Look at this. Verse 24. Therefore, the law was our tutor. Meaning in King James Version, the law was our taskmaster. The law whipped us. The law pointed out our sin. The law showed us that we came short of the glory of God. Look at this. Therefore, verse 24, the law was our tutor, meaning our taskmaster. But it was to bring us to Christ. That we might be justified by what? Faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a taskmaster. Come on, somebody give God a shout. Is He worthy? You know, there might be someone right now that plugged into this Bible study. And I had no clue what happened to Facebook. But here we go again. Thank God for YouTube. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They're not under the law. But maybe, just maybe, God has spoken to you. And maybe God has given you a decision right now in your heart that God would receive you by faith through his grace. And all you have to do is receive that hope of glory. It's a gift. Did you know salvation is a gift? And he wants to give you this wonderful gift that you don't deserve. We don't deserve. But he still gives out this beautiful gift. It's called salvation. And with salvation comes healing. Healing of the soul. Healing of the mind. Even healing of the flesh. Yes. But the greatest healing is our soul being saved by God, that we would live forever. How many can't wait? Woo, excuse me. I knew that was coming. But God is an awesome God.
Yes.
And he's a miracle God. Amen. And maybe you're watching right now, and I'm going to ask you to say this prayer by faith. And I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. And watch God do the miraculous. So pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening. We give you the